When it comes to securing employment straight out of school, apprenticeships have always been a great way to commence a career for our young people. But there's some new figures out that show almost half of those who start an apprenticeship aren't actually completing it. So what's causing many to leave and how do we address it? Warwick Jordan is the coordinator at Hunter Jobs Alliance. He's been taking a bit of a closer look. Good morning.
Morning, Claire.
How surprised were you with the figures of this report?
Oh, look, this has been, it's been a trend that's been around for a while, but I think what's been quite noticeable, both from this report and also there were some brand new figures out overnight, actually, or yesterday, we're looking at almost half of apprentices not completing. And when you dig into those figures a little bit and some of the data that's come through this report from Origin, who are a mental health organisation, They're identifying that particularly young men and particularly those with smaller employers are vulnerable, and that the issues around mental health and mental wellbeing were the critical drivers often for apprentices failing to complete. And I know there is a bit of a sentiment out there that, you know, it's always been hard work being an apprentice, and there's a bit of there's a bit of tough stuff that goes with the territory. But I think also what's happening at the moment, and particularly, over the last few years or the last generation or so, is that we've ended up with this situation where we've got young people that are exposed to a lot more pressures around mental health and mental wellbeing in society at large, but also some of those issues around confusion and changes in the labour market, what the opportunities are, and also the precarious nature of work for some people has added all these pressures. And so when you pile all of those things on top, you have to start taking seriously how do we respond better to make sure people are actually completing.
It's super easy to bash the younger generation, but as a bit of an advocate for young people, I quite like people my age and younger. It's not hard work that causes those mental issues. Sometimes it's everything that comes along. It's the environment. Sometimes it's the treatment. It's the pay. Sometimes for our young apprentices as well. What are we seeing the challenges being?
Yeah, look, the report I think nails some of the key issues, and there are. There's no way to sort of paper over the cracks of it. There are issues around bullying and long hours and those type of things. So that's certainly something that has an impact on people. And as a society and I think as workplaces, it's important to recognise. Yes, we should have high expectations of apprentices and younger workers that they muck in and do the job and take instruction and those type of things. But at the same time, it is a two-way street as well, and having to recognise that you do need a set of supports, you do need that mentorship, you do need to make sure that the people are being paid attention to so that you don't lose them, because that's that's an investment that a workplace has put in, and when somebody doesn't complete because of workplace issues, and that's an investment that's lost for the employer as well as impacts on the individual.
Yeah, and often it is smaller businesses that take on apprentices as well. What are the pressures of taking on an apprentice for some of our small businesses?
Yeah, it's things have obviously changed quite a lot. Like at the end of the day, apprenticeships and that kind of uptake is driven by the demand for skilled labour. And, we used to have situations where, you'd have very large intakes, for large employers, in the Hunter, for example, BHP or some of the state-owned electricity infrastructure companies or what have you. But as we've seen changes to that approach, whether it's privatisation or, industrial closures or employers preferring cheaper options where, maybe instead of going for an apprentice, they'll go out into the labour market and pay overs for somebody who's already trained. And so then you're competing in a smaller pool. The other big thing that's happened is that we've started to rely a lot more on importing skilled labour from elsewhere as well. And so from an employer point of view, sometimes eases the need to invest in training locals, but that has consequences in terms of people being able to be trained. And I think the couple of other things that have really changed, it's It's just a lot more complex as a labour market now. If you're a young person trying to make choices and even understanding, you know, what do I need to do at school to be able, and how long do I need to be at school to be able to access those top shelf apprenticeships and so on. And there's just, you know, there's career advisors and others who do their best, but the resources are limited, and so it's hard for people to navigate. And then I'd say the last thing that has made it tough is historically, you know, governments were happier to invest in institutions, particularly like TAFE, and then that creates a lot of opportunity where, you know, yes, you may end up with people who end up getting trained and the job opportunities aren't there, but what you do by creating that accessibility of that quality training is that you increase the pool and increase the opportunities for people to access those kind of vocational jobs. So we've seen those big changes, but when it comes back to the employers, you know, at the end of the day, what we've seen, I think, over the pandemic is that if government improves the incentives and increases the incentives, you get more uptake of apprentices, and that's not rocket science. You know, government puts in the right incentives and it makes it easier for employers. Now, I think the thing to concentrate on is firstly keeping those type of incentives in place, making sure the training's quality, but as this report's pointed out, you need to look at the other end of the pipeline as well and make sure people are being supported so that they, you know, at the end of the day, people are getting trained so that they can access good, secure work over the course of their working life and have a good life based on that. So we should be paying attention more to that end and supporting people through it.
If we get it right, how does it address some of those skill shortages or the demand that we're seeing right across the trades at the moment?
Well, look, you can see it in the numbers, right? If half of your apprentices are saying, you know, this environment is no good and I'm not going to stick it out, and I'm going to go and get a job that may be lower skilled, but in the short term might have higher rates of pay, then, you know, that's half of your potential skilled workforce that's walking out the door and doing something else. And so I think just based on those numbers, and you think about the amount of taxpayer dollars that go into supporting apprenticeships and supporting the training system. And so when you're looking for areas to make it more efficient rather than, you know, taking the axe to TAFE over and over again, you'd be better off looking at how we support apprentices and invest in, you know, what's probably quite efficient interventions at the other end to keep them in the job and keep them in training.
Does a report like this, you know, often these reports can be done and it's great and they suggest things and we might have a conversation, but do you think that it goes wide enough into the industry that this conversation is happening at that grassroots level when it comes to people who are working in this space?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's obviously in the direct interest of employers to get to grips with this, and a lot of employers are, you know, a lot of employers take these issues really seriously. We're starting to see a lot more programs of peer support, mentorship, and those kind of supports that are really essential. And it will take time to start implementing that. But, you know, there's a lot of employers out there that obviously have apprentices, you know, best interest at heart and are looking for ways to deal with, you know, what is a changing situation and a changing world of work and labour market. But like, when you look at these recommendations, and, you know, sometimes, as you say, you know, the reports happen and it doesn't necessarily go far. But I think looking at this particular piece of work, they've been quite common sense around the type of recommendations and quite practical stuff, you know, mentoring, peer support, making sure that you've got decent employee assistance programs. It's not just, you know, here's a phone number to ring if you're in trouble. And one that I thought was really useful and comes up a lot is just the resilience and life skills. So even some of those basics, you know, when apprentices or trainees come in, and, you know, at the same time they're young people sort of starting the rest of their life and learning the ropes, and so just some of those basics about, you know, how you organise yourself, how you organise your finances, just some of those basic expectations that, you know, about how the things that make it easy, you know, you're rocking up on time, you're making sure that you know, you're respecting the people who are providing you with instruction, all of those type of things, which, you know, in some ways sound common sense, but, you know, they're just young people making their way in the world a lot of the time. And so those kind of supports, not hugely expensive, but they do need to be there to be able to help people through it.
Not bad for all of us to have those refreshers every now and then, if we're honest.
Yeah, we're all on the journey, aren't we?
Warwick, always great to catch up. Thank you so much for talking us through this morning.
Pleasure, Kai. Warwick, great as always.
Warwick Jordan there, coordinator at Hunter Job Alliance, talking you through, yeah, that report that's out. It's just taking a look at, yes, we might be better at attracting apprentices, but not so good at retaining them, with almost half of those who started dropping out, not finishing them. And some of those solutions that we might be able to see.